Morning.
Good morning.
Yes. We will have an impromptu business meeting called after the service this morning. So if you could stick around, we have an important item to discuss, and it should not take very long. There will be Bible study tonight, and that will be at 5 o'clock. I am correct. We have a return speaker today, Miriam, who's in her last semester. She's so excited. So we could continue to pray for her. Are there any other prayer concerns? Obviously, Mike and Lori continue to be on our thoughts and prayers. Anne, it's nice to see you. Nothing? That's all you got? That's all you need, right? That's good. And let's continue to remember Juanita and Aubrey. And Dennis just entered the building. Come on in, Dennis. Any other prayer concerns? None.
I will just say that we had to have prayer for one of my students' grandfather who's having surgery last Monday. He didn't make it. And so you just continue to remember the family. The last name is Zin, Z-I-N.
Yes. Have a 50% chance. Is your name Jennifer?
Oh,
what was your name? Emmy. So this is Jennifer and Emmy, friends of Miriam. Emmy's friend has just had brain surgery. Is that correct? Yeah. And still a little swollen. Continue to pray for her. Him. Grandfather, which would be a him. Yeah. We've had that pew in the same position for 20 years, Mark. Wake up, Nora. Welcome to Berea. Safety first.
There is no way to sneak in.
There is no way to sneak in, yeah. Yeah. Shall we approach the throne of grace, humbly bowing before God Almighty, and lift our hearts in prayer, a privilege provided by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you know our hearts. You know our motives. And Lord, at this time we have vocalized some concerns, and you know that there are concerns on our hearts that have not been spoken. We thank you for your wonderful power, the signs that you show us in the world, that your miracles continue to exist. Yes, Lord, sometimes we are disappointed and confused, but you call us to be still. To be still and to know that you are God. To be still and to hear that voice of comfort that brings us peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, help us to understand your will in our lives individually and corporately, and specifically as this church body. We thank you for the opportunity to lift up these concerns we have this morning. And we continue to thank you for the opportunity just to gather together to praise your holy name. And may this hour, may this time together bring glory to you, Lord, in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things.
Our offertory hymn this morning, of course, is a very familiar hymn, hymn number 652, Jesus Loves Me. In fact, a great theologian, Karl Barth, Swiss theologian, was once asked what was the essence of the gospel, and he says, "Is Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so." Our children know this song, and so I'm going to ask that we sing the first verse twice so that they can sing out and we can all celebrate together. So may we stand and sing the first verse twice of Jesus' love.
Pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the many blessings that you pour upon us. Lord, we are simply returning to you a portion of what you have given to us. In faith, we give and you multiply. Multiply these gifts that we are simply returning to you so that these resources may be used to tell your story. That Jesus loves me and everyone in this world. In his name we pray. Amen.
advantage sometimes to be sitting up here and watching the children, because I can assure you that God has a smile today, because as we were singing Jesus Loves Me, there's nothing better than to see a young child with shades on upside down singing Jesus Loves Me. It brightens up the world, no matter whether it's right side up or upside down. That gets us into, we're kind of switching the order of service a little bit so we can do the special and capture the choir for a minute before we have the children's story in CIA. But the song we're doing this morning was chosen very deliberately. A lot of us are going through a lot of different things. The prayer concerns, we see it this morning. But we're all going through a lot of things in our life. Sometimes more of it is than others. The thing that we want to remember is that through it all, great song by Andre Crouch that we talked about before, God is there. Whether it's the mountains, the valleys, despair, or hope, God is there through it all.
I've had many things as hard.
Are you going to move or are you going to sit there? We don't know what's going on. The order of service is like just jumbled up. And oh, going to move when the kids move. Good. Good idea. Yeah. Well, I decided to do the children's sermon before the reading of the Old Testament. Actually, no. We're going to do it together. So let's have children's time right now. Adley, come on up here. Yeah. 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 The sandpaper head is here. All right. I didn't do it, Linda. I didn't do it. Hi, Jesse. Hi. Yeah, it's okay. Wow. We're ready. This is like a flashback of last week when we were in the van together and Michael was sleeping. Hey, Mike. Michael. Wow. This is amazing. Mike, come over here. You okay? So, we sing the song, Jesus Loves Me. You ever heard that song before? Yeah. How do we know that Jesus loves me? How do we know that Jesus loves me according to that song? You remember? Okay. Well, Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. You remember that part? Yeah. The Bible tells us. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to read from the Bible. I certainly don't want you to get too excited, but I'm going to read from Psalm 46. And this is going to be our children's time. And I hope it makes sense at the very end. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Wow, I've been in trouble plenty of times in my life. Therefore, we will not fear. We won't be scared of anything. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. That is not easy, is it? Can I get an amen from everyone?
Amen.
Boy, I could tell you the stories of when I couldn't sit still. I still can't sit still. You're probably watching me in the pulpit, and I'm fidgeting all over the place. It's hard to sit still sometimes. But God says to be still and to know that he is in control, that he is our fortress and our refuge. Sometimes that's hard. Jesse, are you ready to lead everyone to the back for CIA? Children in action. okay? Now's the time not to be still. Yay! I wish an organ would be playing about right now. I tell you, they have really come a long way. And if you don't agree, be still and quiet to set an example for the young children. So I guess it's time to sing our next hymn. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Trust and obey?
Yes.
For there's no other way.
Hymn number 500. Stand and sing all verses.
Trust and obey. It's not easy to do every day. But today we are blessed to have Miriam back. The last time Miriam was here, I believe, was May the 5th when we had a little lunch and she walked away with plates of food. Yes. Yeah, and she brought back two people. Wow, talk about the Lord multiplying, right? So she came back with more people than what she left with. Miriam is in her last semester. at Duke Divinity School. She's public relations is kind of her background, and she's now kind of looking into some audiovisual stuff, and we had a conversation about some of the things she's been doing at Duke Chapel and some people that she's working with. I have their kids in my classroom, and so we had some good conversation there. We probably could talk a lot longer. But it's a joy to have Miriam here this morning. And I will confess, Jessica's not here today, obviously. And I printed the bulletin out. Actually, this is a lesson of communication. So Robbie came prepared to print a bulletin, and I printed a bulletin. And they may not be the same, but we have a bulletin, okay? If you get an upside-down copy like I did, okay, hey, it took a while. And I will say, okay, we know that Isaiah is in the Old Testament. So Miriam is not going to give us a New Testament reading, but she rather is, her main text is from the book of Isaiah. Ironically, what she doesn't know is that during Advent season, we focused on the Gospel of Luke and Isaiah for the entire Advent season. And she brings us the word this morning focused on that wonderful prophet, Isaiah.
Thanks so much, Phil, for the clarification. even if Isaiah is in the Old Testament, I will preach about the New Testament too, because they are connected, right? So I'll go ahead and read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This passage is so comforting, right? I think it almost sounds like a psalm you read before bed to reassure yourself that God will surely lessen your yoke and give you the joy of the harvest. I definitely read it that way too on hard days. But today, I wanted to look at it from a different perspective, one that's not just my personal life, but one that is of the people of God. This passage is very rich with imagery. First, there's this light that people suddenly see in the middle of the darkness and a bountiful harvest. But also, there's this rod. I was wondering what the rod was. What was the rod that needed to be broken so that the people of God could enjoy these things? Being a seminary student, I did not come here to impress you with my wealth of biblical knowledge, because I also had to look it up. The author of Isaiah, you see, is writing during a detrimental time in Israel's history. The Assyrian Empire has started its conquest of the kingdom of Israel. And Assyria conquers each tribe at a time. But first, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. That's because these two lands were the most exposed. They were the northernmost states, and so they were easy to conquer. And what happens in a conquest? From historical records, We know that the Syrian military is absolutely ruthless. They lay siege to entire cities and burn them to the ground if people don't give in. They don't spare anyone. They either murder them or capture them. And then once they capture people, they enslave them and send them to other parts of the empire to do hard labor. This is the rod. The rod is first over the people of Zebulun and Naphtali, but once those lands are conquered, the rest of Israel also comes under the same rod. All of the Israelites are now walking in darkness, and the Syrian rod of oppression has broken all of them. This is a story about the Israelites. But we know this story is also about us too. We also have rods in our world today that are breaking the backs of people, even in Durham. For instance, I'm sure many of you have lived here long enough to know that Durham housing prices have gone off the roof. People who have lived in their neighborhoods for a long time are now being forced out to the edges, to the most exposed places. The rise in housing prices could be a light rod for some, but for these people, it's a heavy one. And that's just one type of rod. There are so many more types of rods that I couldn't possibly tell you today. Maybe you've already been broken by one of these rods. Or maybe you've had no experience of it directly, but you've seen it. These rods are often big. Their reach is as long as an entire population. They're passed down from generation to generation. And they become so used that there's now a hook for them on the wall. And now, we're the ones walking in darkness. I say we because whether we've directly experienced the rod or not, we're all linked with each other in the kingdom of God. As one of us suffers, we all suffer. We know that from our prayer concerns today. If one of us is suffering, we also suffer with them. And even the ones who are responsible for making these rods, using them, they're also walking in darkness because their hearts are in darkness. We have all been broken by the rod. How can this kind of rod be broken? How can this rod, so big, so old, so normalized that it now hangs on our wall, how can it be broken? Well, this is where the New Testament kind of comes in. If you read the rest of Isaiah 9, the author gives a promise that God will deliver the Israelites. But it's a really strange promise. Not necessarily because the promise itself is strange, but the way that the promise happens. A child will be born. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. This child will be a king over a kingdom so powerful that it can break these rods. And the child doesn't gain this power by conquering other people. No, this kingdom gains its power by committing to other people, committing to justice for other people. It's a kingdom of power and justice. You probably heard this passage from Isaiah many times about a child being born around Christmas time. But do we ever think how crazy it is that the birth of a child could lead to the demise of an entire empire? I mean, Maybe that's why Jesus Loves Me is written from the perspective of children. Because we know it to be true. The birth of a child. We know that Jesus leaves Nazareth and goes to live in the land of Galilee, the land of Zebulun, and the land of Naphtali. Jesus breaks many, many rods in his ministry. Jesus breaks the rod of inaccessible health care by healing people with chronic illness. Jesus breaks the rod of discrimination by talking to Samaritans and advocating for them, the people most ostracized in the community of Jews. Jesus breaks the rod of corruption by confronting the political and religious elite about their abuse of power. You see, Jesus goes to the places where the rod is most heavy. Jesus goes to the edges, to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, because it's not just because these lands are where the rod is most heavy. It's also because these are the places where the rod can be broken. What rods must be broken in our lives today? Or rather, what rods can we break because we have the power of Christ? And what rods must we break because we are followers of Christ? However heavy and big the rod is, we know we are capable because we have Christ, the one who builds a kingdom of power and justice. Now, it's not enough to notice that the rod is hanging on the wall. You have to break it. And so how do you break it? As Jesus shows us, the rod is broken by going to those people on the edges, the least visible places in our community. It is broken through a willingness to leave the crowd and form relationships with the people on the side. It is broken not by being condescending to these people, because we alone can't deliver them, but through our careful listening to their stories and giving them support in the ways they describe, as Jesus did. The breaking of the rod will look different for each one of you. As you encounter different people, you hear different stories. Maybe it's as simple as inviting your neighbors for a community dinner to start building those relationships. Or maybe it's as difficult as passing an affordable housing bill. Well, we know that rod was broken. It happened in the last city election. But there are still so many rods ahead of us. And we are called to break all of them. Once the rod is broken, we are no longer broken, and we are made full in God.
Thank you, Miriam. And so at this time, we will sing His Name is Wonderful. Because it is wonderful. Because through that wonderful name of Jesus, and only through that name of Jesus, do we have the possibility to implement the words that Miriam have brought to us today. May we stand and sing.
His name is wonderful.
He is the great shepherd, right? And you think about the rod, that doesn't make much sense. The rod that seems to be a tool of oppression, that as the text tells us today has been broken or will be broken, it is that rod that comforts us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Right? And then we look forward to that day when we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Miriam's going to give us our benediction. You're standing on this side. I'll get the mic. Yeah. Well, I got the mic over here.
So I'll speak into this mic. So as you leave today, may the God of power and justice give you peace.
Amen. Go in peace. That concludes today's service. Now you don't have to be still. Just know God.
But do remain for the business meeting.
Oh, right. They're smarter than me.
But please take time to greet Miriam and her friends, please.
Thank you.
And all the Lord's people said,